welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
I want us to begin appreciating God, the one who has the word that can change our life, the one who has helped us this far.
Your love towards us, for your thoughts towards us is not the thoughts of evil, but of peace to give us a future and a hope. Thank you, Father, for giving us your Son, Jesus. Thank you, O God, because the whole essence of giving Jesus is that we might be restored back to relationship with you. Thank you, O God, for the privilege of access into your presence. Thank you, O God, because by your Son, Jesus Christ, we have confidence we can come into your presence. Confidence with acting into your presence. But I want to say thank you, O God, for this boldness that we have that we can come into your presence. Lord, we say be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for your faithfulness towards us. Thank you because in your faithfulness, O God, you sent your word to us yesterday. Thank you, O God, because you sanctified us by your word yesterday. Thank you, O God, because your word says that we should not cast our pearls before swine. Thank you because you have thrown to us, O God, that which is precious to you. Because the Bible says that you exalt your word above your name. Let me say be glorified in Jesus' name. We thank you yet again for today, for what you are going to do. We thank you, O God, because we are sure, we are certain that you will continue with us greatly today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Praise God. Please sit. Good morning. Good morning, amen. Everybody. I hope you had very wonderful. I hope we slept well and we had wonderful night rest. There is... Yesterday, the Lord began by telling us a lot of things in related to admittance into the coming kingdom. This morning, I trust that the Lord will be speaking to you and I about a matter that I feel is very, very heavy in my heart. Now, when things like this begin to come, when the Lord begins to speak like this, one of the things that come to mind is I begin to ask myself, who is talking? Who is speaking? Who is actually discussing this? And what is the nature of this person? Now, we know that everything we learned yesterday, of course, would actually... All of the things we learned yesterday were established in the scriptures. Scriptures, several scriptures were read. So we know that the person actually who spoke to us yesterday was actually God. And if God was actually the one who explained all that to us, then we know that everything he said yesterday is true. Is that correct? Now there is a matter that has been brought to mind. It's the issue, that story of the rich man who found himself, who died, then opened his eyes in hell. Do you understand? Now, of course, something happened and then he had to stay there, of course. He found himself in hell. Now, this is the matter. whether I like it or not, whether you like it or not, this issue of heaven and hell is real. That's one. Two, this issue of admittance into the coming kingdom is very serious. That's two. Then what Jesus Christ mentioned in the book of Matthew 7, which we are going to be reading now, is very important. So if God is true, and we know that he is, if whatever he says he's going to do, and we know that he's going to do that, then we know that what is stated in the book of Matthew 7, which we'll be reading now, is very true. I want us to go there. Now that's not what the Lord will be speaking to us about this morning, but I want us to read that please first, before we go on. Matthew 7, verse 13 to 14. I'll read from here. It said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Now, we can highlight a couple of words in this particular passage. We can highlight enter by the narrow gate. We can start with that. We can also highlight, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Then we can highlight the word, there are many. So that means many. When Jesus Christ says many, of course, we know that he's not talking about thousands, he's talking about millions. Do you understand? Then we can go down now to 14 to highlight the word, there are few who find it. Now, this is the fear in my heart. If there are many who will find the Broadway, who will always be on the Broadway, and there are very few who will find the road that leads to life, then it behooves me to be very, very certain that I am amongst those few. Do you understand? I'm one of those few people who will find the way. Do you understand what I'm saying? And if I know that God is true, and if I know that whatever he says is going to do, that I know that if he says many, then there are many. And if he says that there are few people who are going to find this way, then there are very few. Then it means that I must begin to diligently ensure that I am one of those few people. Do you understand? Which leads us to what the Lord will have us talk about this morning. I want us to open our Bibles to Hebrews 7 verse 25. We prayed that scripture yesterday, but there's a particular word there. There are many who go in by it, but there are few who will find the way of life. There are many who will go through the gate that is wide and the broad way. And there are very few who will find the narrow gate. And that means if I must enter by the narrow gate, it means there is no other way. Do you understand? It means if there is no other way, then I must find that narrow gate. Then it means that whatever must happen to my heart, do you understand? Whatever must happen to your heart, such that my heart must be adjusted to understand that, see, there is only this way, and I must adjust every condition of my heart, every condition around me, to ensure that this is the only way I would follow. If you and I attempt to create any other way apart from that way, we are deceiving ourselves. We are wasting our time. Do you understand? So I realized that attempting to not even understand this issue is personal. It's a deception, self-deception on its own. Do you understand? So now let's look at Hebrews 7:25. Hebrews 7:25 says, "Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." He is able to save to the uttermost those who come through to God through him, since he lives always to make intercession for them. For several places that you would read in the Bible, maybe in the Gospels or the Old Testament, one of the strongest things that I've noticed for men who got saved, one thing about them is this: they must always come. If there is no coming to God, there can never be salvation. Do you understand? See, the truth is, and as Jesus Christ has stated in the book of John 6 verse 33, there will always be tribulations, there will always be issues, there will always be things that would attempt to stand in my way, in your way, to actually enter through that gate. You know, yesterday, when the minister was actually saying something, that when the Bible talks about, you know, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent person takes it by force, it actually means that whatever you are going to do, The people that are wrestling against you, ensuring that you're not going to enter through that gate, they are fighting dirty. Fighting death in the sense that they are willing to go naked, they are willing to die for this particular cause. Now, if I don't understand that these people are willing to die for this particular cause, we would not begin to take the issue of entering in by the narrow gate seriously. Do you understand? Now, that's one. Then two, if we don't understand that the salvation that we desire from the Lord will only happen when we come, we cannot be saved. Do you understand? Now, it is, of course, the cliché example of a child who needs help, and then, of course, the child is crying, and then you are trying to carry the child, and the child is withdrawing. There's another example of, you know, someone is drowning, and then the person is crying out for you to help. And there's this thing about swimmers, that there's something they say, that if you're going to save somebody who is drowning, you will have to wait for them to stop flapping and all that. When they've, you know, settled, and then they are no longer struggling in the water, then you can dive in to save them. That's what I heard. Now, why is that? Because if you attempt to save them in that manner, they will pull you down too. Now, a lot of times, we don't understand that, first of all, God being able to save us, it must happen by me coming, by you coming. Now, if we don't come, there is no salvation. Let us give several examples. The Bible talks about the thief on Jesus' right hand side. Do you understand? Before the thief could be saved, the thief had to open his mouth to ask Jesus, so when you enter into your kingdom, don't forget me. And Jesus Christ said, don't worry, tonight you are going to be with me. Before Nicodemus could be saved, Nicodemus had to come to Jesus to begin to ask personal questions. If Nicodemus had stayed in his house wallowing in pain and thinking, how will I be saved? How will I be doing this? If he does not come to Jesus by himself, if he does not take his legs and then come to Jesus to ask for salvation, there will not be salvation. Praise God. If you do not understand that no matter what is surrounding you, no matter whether the cloud of gloom or whatever it is, if you don't come to Jesus, his salvation, whatever he wants to do in your life, cannot be done. Do we understand? I want us to look at certain things that actually hinder us from coming. Now, we don't consider most of these things, but they hinder us from coming. And as long as they keep hindering us from coming, they will stop us from being saved. You know that we read in the book, this book, particular passage that we just studying, Hebrews 7:25. It said, "Is able to save to the uttermost." To the uttermost simply means to whatever extent, to whatever length. No matter what my issues are, no matter what I'm struggling with, no matter what I'm dealing with, the Bible says he is able to save to the uttermost. Jesus Christ speaking, he said, "Anyone who comes to me, my Father will, I will by no means cast away." Now, for me, that's a very, very encouraging scripture. So that means as long as you come to him, as long as you acknowledge your sin, I know that this way is... Because we have to understand something. The Bible says that the way is difficult. And when the Bible says the way is difficult, you have to understand that it's difficult. That means there are landmines. That means there are bombs on the way. That means there are things on the way that you don't even understand. Do you understand? Now, if I acknowledge that, if you acknowledge that, then I think it would be wise, there is someone who understands that way, who is Jesus, then it would be wise for me to come to him so that I can be saved. Now, because the way is difficult, I don't know how to navigate that way. You don't know how to navigate that way. The only way that, you know, the only way you can navigate that way successfully is by coming to the one who will be able to save us. And one of our greatest challenges as humans that are sin is that we don't know how to come to him. We don't know how to stay with him. We don't know, even when we eventually come to him, first, most times he will have to drag us into his presence. Even when we eventually come to him, we don't know how to stay with him until we are saved. Do you understand? Then we don't know how to continue to stay with him until we are saved. We read the scripture yesterday, 2 Timothy 4:18. He said, "The Lord will save me from every evil work, and then he will preserve me for his heavenly kingdom." That means the only person who can preserve me for the heavenly kingdom, for this thing that we are talking about, the only person who can preserve me is the Lord himself. Bible says, "Unto him who is able to save you and to keep you from falling and to bring you before his presence blameless." So that means it is not going to be by my own power. So having heard all of the things that I heard yesterday, having heard all of the hell and, you know, Tartarus and all the things that I heard yesterday, I am not going to be saved by my own power. Do you understand? I'm not going to be delivered from this Broadway by my own power. Do you know one thing I've noticed about the world system? You don't have to decide to be worldly. Do you understand? You don't have to decide to follow the world system, but you have to decide to follow Jesus. The world system is designed in such a way that it will enter into you, and then you could even be a Christian for so long, and then you would not know that you are still carrying the world about, and that you are still dealing with some things. Do you understand? And then I realized that you would have to make a firm decision to follow Jesus, but you don't have to make a firm decision to follow the world. Then I also realized that you will have to decide that you will follow Jesus. If you have not decided that you will follow Jesus and get the help that he has for you, you have already made the decision to follow the world. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is the pursuit of Jesus Christ that actually saves you from the world. It is the pursuit, my pursuit of Jesus Christ, a tenacious determination to ensure that I will pursue Jesus Christ that saves me from the world. So if today I decide that, do you know what, I'm going to withdraw a little bit from Jesus Christ, no problem. What automatically happens is that I have decided to begin to follow the world. Do you understand? It's a decision we must consistently make. So now what is the Lord encouraging us to do this morning? The Lord is encouraging us to come. On what basis? On the basis of the fact that he is able to save to the uttermost, to whatever extent, to whatever length, no matter where the person is, no matter where you are in your walk with God, no matter where you are, what you're struggling with in your walk with God, or in knowing the Lord, in understanding him. We learned yesterday that he doesn't even expect you to be perfect. Now, it's not a license, we were also told, it's not a license to then begin to misbehave. But of course, you know that because your walk is a walk of faith, and your journey is a very long journey, that you will only reach perfection when you see the Lord. Sometimes there will be stumblings and all that. But it's very important that at least you begin to take steps every day to continue to come to him, come towards him, growing to know him more and all that. Now, he's able to save us to the uttermost. He's able to save you to whatever length, only if you come to him. What are the things that will stop us from coming to him? I want us to look at the first thing. The first thing that actually stops us from coming to him is, of course, lack of our hunger to come. That's one. The second thing is pride, when you're proud and you feel you don't need God. The third thing is, this one is very serious, wrong perspective about God. When you don't have the right perspective about God, it stops us from coming. Now, the flesh lies to us that when you come to God or you talk to God about a particular matter, because I've been talking to him about several matters and you have not received physical response and all that, you feel that if you talk to him about this matter, he's not going to respond to you. But that's a lie. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 4, that if you ask him for wisdom or whatever it is, he will not rebuke you for asking. So that means if I come to him 1 million times in a day, he will not rebuke me for asking. Do you understand? So our wrong perspective of God actually affects our coming. Praise God. Coldness of heart equally affects our coming. When your heart is cold, when your heart is disorganized, because the Bible says God is not an author of confusion. When your heart is disorganized and then you don't speak peace to your heart, it will hinder you from coming. When you are contented with little, maybe you are knowing God more, you are studying your Bible now and then you are enjoying it, you will not be able to come. Finally, what do these things actually do to us? They, obviously from the scriptures, they actually steal from us the opportunity to be saved by God. The opportunity to be transformed into the image of Christ daily. And if we are not looking like Jesus, I hope we know we are never going to be able to make it into this particular kingdom. The qualification for entering into this kingdom is just one thing: looking like the man Jesus. I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I pray the Lord will help us to come in the name of Jesus. I want us to close our eyes to pray this morning. I want us to talk to God, our Father, please, you will help me to come. Your word says that you are able to save me to the uttermost. Those who come to you through Jesus, seeing that you live forevermore to make intercession for them. Lord, help me to come in the name of Jesus Christ with a sincere heart. Help me to come with a heart that is ready to stay. Let me not just come. Help me to stay. Help me to come, one, with a sincere heart. Then help me to stay until I'm made whole in the name of Jesus Christ. And then when I'm made whole, help me to stay with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Never to depart in the name of Jesus. Lord, help me not to deny myself, O God, of the salvation that you want to give to me for free. Help me not to deny myself, O God, of the victory, O God, the salvation, the freedom that you want to give to me for free, O God. Help me to come in the name of Jesus. For in Jesus' name we have prayed.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on
080-8133-8536
081-7455-8177 081-409-9127
or visit our blogspot
at www.reformationplatform.com.
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life